Such icy wounds the city people bear beneath brown coats enveloping withered members. I do not want to know of mutilations. Now witness the long-drawn evening debarkation of warm and liquid cargoes in torn wrappings the ships of mercy carry back from war. We live on cliffs above such moaning waters. Our eyeballs are starred by the vision of burning cities, our eardrums shattered by cannon, a blast of the dying, a thunder of people who cannot catch their breath, is caught in the mortar and molded into the walls. And I, obsessed with the dread of things corroded, of rasping faucets, of channels that labor to flow, have no desire to know of morbid tissues, of cells that begin prodigiously to flower. There is an hour in which disease will be known as more than occasion for some dim relative's sorrow. But still the watcher within my soundless country assures the pendulum duties of the heart and asks no reason, but keeps a faithful watch as I keep mine from the height of the Belvedere. And though no eyrie is sacred to wind entirely, a wall of twigs can build a kind of summer. I asked my kindest friend to guard my sleep. I said to him, give me the motionless thicket of summer, the velvety cul-de-sac, and quiet the drummer. I said to him, brush my forehead with a feather, not with an eagle's feather, nor with a sparrow's, but with the shadowy feather of an owl. I said to him, come to me dressed in a cloak and a cowl and bearing a candle whose flame is very still. Our Belvedere looks over a brambly hill. I said to him, give me the cool white kernel of summer, the windless terminal of it, and calm the drummer. I said to him, tell the drummer, the rebels have crossed the river, and no one is here but John with a broken drumstick and half-wit Peg, who shot spitballs at the moon from the Belvedere. Tell the feverish drummer, no man is here. But what if he doesn't believe me? Give him proof, for there is no lie that contains no part of truth. And then, with the sort of courage that comes with fever, the body becoming sticks that blossom with flame, the flames for a while obscuring what they consumed, I twisted and craned to peer in the loftier room. I saw the visitor there, and him I knew as my waiting ghost, and the Belvedere was blue. I said to my kindest friend, the time has come to hold what is agitated and make it still. I said to him, fold your hands upon the drum. Permit no kind of sudden or sharp disturbance, but move about you constantly, keeping the guard with fingers whose touch is narcotic, brushing the walls to quiet the shuddering in them, drawing your sleeves across the hostile mirrors and cupping your palms to breathe upon the glass. After a while, anxiety will pass. The time has come, I said, for purification. Rub out the lewd inscriptions on the walls. Remove the prisoners' names and maledictions, for lack of faith has left impurities here, and whisper faith to the summer Belvedere. Draw back the kites of hysteria from the sky, those struggling fish draw back from their breathless pool, and whisper assurances cool to the watchful corners, and whisper sleep and sleep along the treads of the stairs and up the stairwell, clear to the Belvedere, yes, clear up there, where giggling John stood up in his onion skin of adolescence to shoot spit balls at the moon from the captain's walk. And then at the last, he said, what shall I do? The sweetest of treasons, I told him, lean toward my listening ear and whisper the long word to me, the longest of all words to me, the word that divides the sky from the Belvedere.